Welcome to the High Value Sales Show of Eversprint.com. I'm Malcolm Louie, the managing member of Eversprint, and today we're speaking with Jim Dayton, the CEO of BioAgilytics, a bioanalytical testing laboratory specializing in large molecule bioanalysis. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Jim, you grew your company's revenue from $10.4 million in 2014 to $35.9 million in 2017. A 245% increase, and in 2018, you hit just under $60 million. Before we talk about how you grew your company so fast, can you briefly share what your company does beyond my quick intro and how your company differs from the competition?
Sure, Malcolm. So our focus is to help pharmaceutical and biotech companies get their life-saving drugs to the marketplace quickly and safely. We're obsessed with customer satisfaction and helping our customers, particularly in the large molecule bioanalysis space, to get projects like cures for cancer, for eye diseases, heart diseases, HIV, and other critical illnesses to the marketplace. We've been around for 11 years, and we're headquartered just outside of Research Triangle Park, North Carolina.
And can you describe in layman's term what your company really does when you say bioanalytical testing laboratory for large molecule bioanalysis?
Sure. So when you think of the pharmaceutical world, it's commonly defined as small molecule versus large molecule. Small molecule are older drugs like chemical entities where they would screen different chemical libraries to come up with a drug like aspirin or an antihistamine. Our projects are much more complex. We're working with living cells. We're working to help cure diseases. When you think about a lot of the cures that have come out recently, our focus is on projects like biomarkers, immunogenicity, cell-based assays, PK. We focus on all different testing modalities to help pharmaceutical and biotech companies work on their projects to help them with the regulatory agencies to help them get their products to the marketplace.
So when your company does bioanalytical testing, what kind of testing are you doing?
Well, it varies. We work with projects like biomarkers, immunogenicity, cell-based assays, PK. When you think of all the large molecule drugs that come to the market, in fact, there were 18 of them approved by the FDA last year. We worked on 8 of them, which is pretty amazing that 40% of all the drugs that came out in the marketplace last year, we had some input or help to get those drugs to the marketplace.
So are you testing for FDA approval or even before then when they're developing the drug and they want to test for certain conditions or outcomes? Is that also what you do?
We're helping them get their drugs to the marketplace so that they can be approved by a regulatory agency, whether it's the FDA and the US, the EMEA in Europe, or other regulatory agencies around the world. We're helping them bring that molecule or compound from pre-discovery before it's in man to all the way to getting it approved so it can be sold commercially on the marketplace and help save millions of lives.
Right. And then you said 8 of the 18 drugs that were approved, your company was involved on the testing side of things. Now, is that an indicator of your market share as well, that your reach is so broad that you're working with 40% of the drugs that are in progress right now?
So we have about a 5% market share, but to my knowledge, we're the fastest growing company in our industry today. But yet 40% of all the drugs that were approved came through us, which just shows great momentum in our current business, great confidence by our customers, great customer satisfaction, where they want us to scale and be able to take on more projects for them globally.
Right, right. Now, Jim, you grew your company's revenue from $10.4 million in 2014, and then 4 years later, you're at $60 million. So you 6 times your revenue during that period. What were the 3 biggest drivers during that period?
I think it all comes down to people. We've got a world-leading scientific team with strong leadership, renowned scientists that are shaping the bioanalytical best practices in the industry. They're highly sought off, they're experts in their fields and in the industry, and it's our model. We put the customer first. It's at the top of our pyramid. We're obsessed with customer satisfaction. We want to find a way that our employees have an amazing experience here, their engagement's positive. And it shows. It shows in a couple of different ways. One, our retention rate is around 93%. And in our industry, that is, to my knowledge, the best in the industry, very high customer retention rate. And it shows with our customers when 99% of our customers continue to place work with us year after year and grow year after year. They want us to be able to take on more. And as a result, we've had to expand our facilities and expand globally and geographically to be able to meet our growing customer demand.
How much did you say was your retention rate again for your customers?
It's just over 93% retention rate for our employees and 99% retention rate for our customers, which to my knowledge, both of those are industry leading metrics.
Yeah, 99% is huge. And by retention rate, you're talking about year after year, like they work with you.
That's correct.
That's a huge retention rate.
And not only do they continue working with us, but they continue growing and sending more work to us, which is a real tribute. When customers are happy, they want to place more of their valuable assets to us. And for us, it's pretty simple. It's all about the science. We try to find the best people in the world that we can hire. Last year alone, we hired over 120 new employees worldwide. In the U.S., we happen to move people from 11 different states. Today, we have employees from over 40 different countries, which I think is a real strength of ours, the diversity that we're able to find the best scientists and leading industry experts that have a similar culture to ours that want to come work with us and make a real difference in the world.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, when you do your testing, the drug companies send their product to you to do the testing in your facilities, or do you somehow set things up on their side, on site?
Predominantly, they send it to us. We partner with them. We have our scientist team work with their team. We form a joint plan as to how do we go about getting their project to the marketplace. We're quite proud that we've had multiple rescue projects at our site here. A rescue project is where it failed at another lab or contract research organization, a CRO. We had 11 of those over the last couple of years. And then every case where it failed to either get regulatory approval or another CRO could not get it working, we had great success. And in every one of those cases, we were able to get the project working and or get it approved by the regulatory agency.
Let me recap driver number one then. The first driver are the people. You have a renowned set of experts who are working at your company, and your team is able to provide fantastic service to your customers. And some indicators that reflect this is, one, you have a 93% retention rate of your employees, and you have a 99% retention rate of your customers, both, as far as you know, and it sounds probably is the case as well, it's well above industry norms. Is that right for your first driver?
That's right. It is.
Okay, great. How about drivers number two and number three behind your sales growth?
Well, we've been fortunate that there's a lot of external factors driving our growth. There's been a trend towards large molecule bioanalysis. 20 years ago, when I left a large pharma company, 1% of the global pipeline was focused on large molecules. Today, that number just exceeded 50%. It's been growing, and it's expected to be over 70% in the next 5 years. So the trend is to get to a lot more precision medicine, custom therapeutics, large molecule drugs, and we're at the forefront of that one, clearly one of the world leaders. The second trend has been the growing demand in outsourcing. A lot of the pharmaceutical and biotechnology companies do not have a team of experts or scientists on staff to do what we do. They'd rather find a partner like us that they can entrust their valuable assets to, that they can look to turn up and turn down depending on what the volume or need is. And you've seen a lot of pharmaceutical and biotechnology companies want to outsource what they're doing to partners like us. And so we've seen that the outsourcing trend grow to north of 50% as well. And then finally, is we are inquisitive. We're looking to acquire other companies in the industry today. We've recently been acquired by a large firm in Europe, private investment firm, that has set aside significant capital for us to expand, and you'll see us adding additional services and geographical coverage just to be able to support our global customers.
Right. Now, when you said growing demand for outsourcing greater than 50%, are you saying that More than 50% of the direct companies out there have outsourced their bioanalytical testing.
Yes, and that number has grown substantially. It's been a double-digit increase year after year the last 5 years. So think of the large pharmaceutical company and biotechnology companies. As an example, I'll talk about Cambridge or the Boston area in Massachusetts. There's over 400 different biotechnology companies there, many of them starting up on getting funding from venture capitalists or spin-outs from universities or other companies that are looking for, they've got drug targets in mind. They need a company like ours to be able to do the testing for them. It's not economical for them or wise to spend their money to have those capabilities in-house. They'd rather spend their money on research and partner with a company like ours that can get their assets to the marketplace quicker.
Right. Now, is the investment to do what you do primarily on the people side, or is it also on the equipment side?
You know, we always say, Malcolm, that our IP is our people. We try to hire the best and brightest people we can find worldwide and bring them in here to help us. So it really is on the people side, although in the last couple of years, we've spent millions of dollars every year to upgrade our facilities, to add different platforms and equipment to make sure that we have the leading edge technologies to be able to solve our clients' toughest challenges.
Right. And when you do work for your clients, how does it work? Is it same machine testing tools being used for products, or you isolate each area and it's like a space for each of your customers, each of your clients?
We have over 30 different platforms, leading edge technologies that we can leverage. But at the end of the day, we're platform agnostic. We really work with our clients on individual solutions to see what platform would be best for them. We leverage those platforms depending on what the outcome is, what the need is, and customize it to what they'd like to see done and what we think will have the best chance of success. So the equipment is not necessarily dedicated to our customers, but rather it's our employees that make the real difference that create the value there.
Right. And when they do testing work for your clients, for your customers, is it a full-time for your employees, full-time job and project for them where they're totally devoted to one of your customers, or is it something that allows them to manage a few different projects with different customers at the same time?
That's a great question, Malcolm, and it varies by customer. Today, we are working on over 500 different projects, and we have over 140 different customers. Large pharmaceutical, small pharmaceutical, biotech companies around the world. So our employees, we have some models where they are dedicated solely to one customer and they focus on everything that that customer needs. And we have other ones that are leveraging multiple different customers. But it certainly allows us to be industry best practices to know where the current scientific challenges are, where the best practices are, and to have great deep domain knowledge within those areas where we can help companies get their products to the marketplace.
Right. So for drivers 2, 3, and 4, I have here, one, you benefit from the trend toward more large molecule bioanalytics. There, and that was number 2. Number 3, there's a growing demand for outsourcing the bioanalysis testing. And then number 4, your growth also related toward acquisition, right? Some of your revenue growth came from acquiring other companies. Is that right? Over the past few years?
That is right. The only thing I would add to that is for us, it's all about the science and the people. We're dealing with new, exciting drugs where there is no standard cookie cutter approach. We're doing research with our customers to be able to identify issues, collaborate in a scientist to scientist approach to determine the best fit. And it really comes down to the passion of our team. Many of our employees have had loved ones affected by very serious diseases, and they have a mission in life to try to get a lot of these diseases cured. And that leads to the high retention rate that they have here, the high employee engagement, and really wanting to make a real difference in the world healthcare today.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about your these four drivers that you shared about. Now, 93% employee retention rate, 99% customer retention rate. I mean, has it always been like that from day one, or have you implemented policies, hired smart, hired right, or was there other things that led to that?
Yeah, it's a multi-pronged answer. Certainly when we're hiring,
for every 10 resumes we get, we're bringing one of those people in house. For every 10 people we bring in house, we ultimately hire three of them. So it's a very thin window. We want to make sure that they have the right culture, that they share that passion for science, passion for meeting customer expectations, that their culture is similar to ours. It's not just a factory where you're trying to grind things out. For us, it really is a culture of wanting to make sure the customer's happy, wanting to make sure you're aligned, finding the right person. When you've got them on board, we then want to make sure that we're performing at industry best practices, and that's highly regulated in our industry in terms of data, what you do and how you do it. But the bigger issue is just a real commitment from our employees to make sure that they can meet our customer expectations.
Right. Now, is there a compensation structure in a way that encourage them to, you know, be a long-term participant in your company, like stock options and that sort of thing?
Yes. Every employee in our company receives stock option. And that's very important to us because we're all shareholders. Every employee in our company is also measured by customer satisfaction. We want to make sure that we're meeting expectations, whether that's the pharmaceutical and biotechnology customers, or when we have regulatory agencies in here, that we're complying with all standards for quality and federal guidelines. So from our perspective, it's very important to make sure that we're all aligned on achieving customer satisfaction and that we are maintaining a high level of quality for the regulatory agencies.
Right. How are you measuring customer satisfaction? Are you doing surveys on a regular basis with your customers?
We do. Two things. One, every quarter, we send out a four-question survey to our customers, just asking how happy were they, any feedback they have for us, would they recommend us to other clients. That goes out every quarter to all the customers we've done projects in. And we have a very high response rate. It ranges between 20 to 35%, which in our industry is quite good.
That's pretty good in all industries. That's a really high response rate.
Yeah, I would agree. And once a year, we contract out to an outside agency that does a formal net promoter score. And about a third of our customers last year responded to that, and they placed us in the top quartile of all companies out there for an NPS score in terms of customer satisfaction and quality as compared to the industry.
What number did you get?
We received a 42 NPS, which in our industry was the highest.
Okay. Fantastic. What's the industry average?
The industry average is in the low 30s, and it's a tough industry because when you think of all the demands for science, for a lot of projects that don't work, for meeting tight deadlines, when you think of our company where we have over 500 projects going on at one time, and 99% of our customers continue to return to us, it shows that they're very happy with who we are, what we stand for, and how we support them.
Yeah, and that's a big difference as well. 42 versus the low 30s for the industry average.
Yes, it is. And we're happy with that. And metrics are important to us. We want to make sure that we start projects on time, that we finish projects on time, that we're communicating well with our clients throughout the process, that we're collaboratively working with them, sharing ideas when issues come up. And this is science. You can't predict that we have open dialogues. We brainstorm, we work with them. And the goal is to ultimately help the patients to get these life-saving drugs to the marketplace quicker. We are approaching 300 employees today globally. I mentioned we hired just over 120 employees last year. Some of our employees today wouldn't be here if it were not for the medicines that we put on the marketplace, helped put on the marketplace the last several years. So we're highly committed to improving the world healthcare.
All right, fantastic. For number two, the trend toward large molecule bioanalytic testing. Forgive me if I'm getting the terminology wrong here. How long do you see that trend continuing?
Well, the trend has been strong. As I mentioned, 20 years ago, it was less than 2% of the global pipeline. And last year, it just crossed over 50%. Frost and Sullivan estimates that in the next 5 years, it'll be over 70%. So we see precision medicine, custom therapeutics, the trend towards living cells, biologics being a very strong trend to continue. And that way you're not spending unnecessary money on people taking drugs that they don't need, There have been several cases where people are taking oncology drugs where they're not effective and it only works for a subsegment of the population. And if we can help our customers find out who those drugs will most benefit from and have them customized for each patient, it'll take cost out of the healthcare system as well.
Right. For driver number three, the demand for outsourcing the testing, is this something that you see continuing as well, or can you imagine a scenario where companies might want to bring it back in-house?
You know, everything is cyclical. There are trends, but this is one just from a cost perspective. It's a lot more efficient to partner with a company like BioAgilytics, where we have different resources. When you're working with over 140 customers, sometimes they need your services, sometimes they don't, but it would be highly inefficient for them to maintain a team of dedicated people to be able to do this all the time. And in many cases, they wouldn't have the expertise that we have. We have deep domains within these therapeutic areas that we can provide the expertise. And so from our perspective, we see the trend continuing and even growing to be the industry norm that you outsource services like ours in the future.
Yeah. Now, is it possible for a company to outsource this sort of work to another company that's on the other side of the globe?
Yes, it is. We've had, today we work and receive samples from over 30 countries around the world. The major companies that are focused on outsourcing different drugs. So from our perspective, we see a lot of these continuing where we'll be getting samples from around the world, where we'll be getting projects from different companies. That's why we've set up a large operation in Europe and why you'll see us expanding to other global sites as well to serve our customers.
Right. Is there any sort of logistical issues? Like, do you need to be within 2 days FedEx of your clients to get the materials quickly enough, or can you literally be on the other side of the world when they send you the drugs to test?
That's a great question. It really depends on what you're testing. For some different elements of testing, yes, speed is critical and of the essence, and you have to be able to get sometimes live samples to be tested. So for the majority, there's great carriers out there that can put these on ice and make sure that they're within your site within a couple of days that they can be tested. When you're dealing with serum and plasma, it makes it a little bit easier. So from our perspective, we today have a stronghold in Europe and North America, and you'll see us expand to other parts of the world to be able to serve and service our global customer requirements.
Right. And then for number four, you talk about acquisitions, and earlier in the conversation, you mentioned you have a 5% market share right now. So it sounds like a lot of acquisition opportunities for you down the pipe here.
Yes, we continue to look at different areas. Today, we think we're one of the leaders in cell and gene therapy. You've seen a lot of drugs continue to expand in those areas, and you'll see us acquiring other technologies and companies so that we can support that growing demand. And you'll see us continue to invest in other areas of the globe so that we can support those customers as well. But M&A and acquisitions to support our customer needs will be a critical pillar for us moving forward.
Right. So typically when a company like yourself does acquisitions, is it typically the targets are much smaller than you, or sometimes you might go after much larger ones and do a merger of sorts?
We are open to both scenarios. Our first acquisition for a company called IPM Biotech in Europe, they were a much smaller company that was done in February of 2016. And 3 years later, they've grown by over four times within 3 years. They've quadrupled their sales. And that's because we've been able to build them a brand new lab. Their number of people there has increased by fourfold. They've got more capabilities, and there's high demand for these services in Europe as well.
Yeah, it sounds like that's a really good acquisition.
It has been. And most importantly, great scientific talent, great people. We're all aligned, and that's what makes it so well, that we can work with customers, pharmaceutical companies that sometimes want to have samples done or work done in Europe or the U.S., or depending what our lead times are to start project, they can move assets back and forth, which makes it very nice.
Right. So looking a bit ahead for, say, 2019 or even 2020, say we have this conversation again 1 year from today. What has to have happened over the past 1 year for you to be happy with the company's progress? Like in particular, what obstacles has your team overcome? What opportunities have they captured? What strengths has their team fully continued to leverage?
I think from our perspective, it's a couple of different pillars. The first is employees. If our employees are well-trained, highly motivated, they're having a great experience here, we're going to do great because happy employees will create happy customers. I mentioned that we hired over 120 new employees last year. We expect to hire more than that this year, new employees to support continued growth. And those are leading edge scientists. They're people in data review. They're people in operations. And then they're in support growth, SG&A, helping us maintain that growth as well. We also have several initiatives that we're putting in place this year, including going paperless with electronic lab notebooks, with new systems, enhancing our automation systems that we can handle larger sample analysis projects in both Europe and the U.S., and different automation projects as well that will allow us to be able to not only handle larger projects, but just be much more precise and accurate with the work that we do.
Right. How about on the marketing and sales front in terms of getting more customers or doing more work with your existing customers?
You know, we've underinvested probably in marketing and business development because we've put most of our capital into science and the facilities and people. And so there are opportunities for us to expand our marketing presence. There was a survey conducted 4 years ago that talked about the leaders in the marketplace. And we see that we've got a lot of work to do to increase our marketing presence or our name recognition worldwide. And you'll see that be more of an objective for us in the future. But given a choice, we've chosen to put more capital into science and people and facilities and training than marketing and business development. But that will evolve over the next couple of years.
Right. What will be the driver or the tipping point when you decide that, yeah, it's time for us to maybe put more resources into marketing and sales?
You know, Malcolm, we've been fortunate that we've had such high referrals from our current customers and employees that we haven't had to do that as much up to now. But we have growing demand from our customers where they want to be managed globally. So a large pharmaceutical company that has operations all around the world would like one person on our end to be able to manage those and coordinate everything globally. And so that's going to be a high priority for us that we focus on that moving forward to be able to have key account managers and directors who can oversee and be intimate with our customers so that we understand what their growing needs are, what their future requirements will be, that we can be proactive to help support them as well.
Right. I mean, you are working with, I imagine, the largest global pharmaceutical companies out there, right? So they probably have a lot of projects that you can help them with.
We work with over 80% of the top 25 pharmaceutical and biotech companies worldwide today.
Right. Now, earlier you were talking about hiring and you gave me some numbers. You said like out of, I think you shared with me, 1 out of 10 people that come by through your front door, you'll bring them in for a closer look. And then for every 10 you bring in, you hire 3, right? So pretty much it's like a 3% hiring rate, right? You look at 100 people, you hire 3.
That's correct.
So, you know, does that indicate that you might have a constraint on the hiring side that might be limiting your growth?
You know, we've been fortunate that we're based here in Research Triangle Park area of North Carolina. It's a great place to bring employees. I mentioned that we brought people in from 11 different states and 2 different countries to come work here. We've got people are getting to know about us. There's high demand. They like the culture that we've created. That they like the facilities, the collaboration with their team members, with their customers. And so we've been fortunate that we've got a growing demand of people who are willing to relocate here. We're also fortunate that in our area, we've got major universities that we can pull from. Within a short drive of us, you've got UNC, University of North Carolina. You've got Wake Forest, Duke University, North Carolina State. You've got multiple great academic institutions that we can recruit from as well. And the same in Europe, where our European headquarters are in Germany. Our official language of the lab is English. And we have a lot of people that have moved there from all over the world to be part of this culture.
Okay, so hiring's not a problem. You're still able to hire the sufficient number of quality people to fuel your growth?
We have an amazing HR team and recruiting team that has been very effective at helping us find the right candidates and bring them in and screen them and then ultimately help train them. We've been fortunate with the leadership we have in that team.
Right. Three final questions for you. If Bioagiletics were to have a billboard somewhere, whether it be in Europe or in the United States, what would be your billboard message? And keep in mind that people who are driving by a billboard, they only have about 6 seconds to read your billboard before they drive by. So what would be your punchy billboard message?
We enable the breakthroughs of tomorrow today. So you think of all the scientific breakthroughs that are occurring, the ones that are going to be coming out in the future. We enable those breakthroughs of tomorrow to happen today by helping the pharmaceutical and biotech community to bring their products to the marketplace safely and quickly.
Right. That's a good one. Enable breakthroughs of tomorrow today. All right. And who are your ideal customers and what's the best way for them to reach you and your team?
Pharmaceutical and biotech companies looking to accelerate their large molecule drugs to the marketplace that need accurate quality testing to ensure their efficacy and safety is in line with stringent industry regulations. Those interested can contact us by phone at 919-381-6097 or by email at info@bioagiletics.com, or they can go to our website at www.bioagiletics.com. We certainly look forward to working with future pharmaceutical and biotechnology companies.
Would you mind spelling out bioagiletics?
Yes, it's a mouthful. Bioagiletics came from biology. It came from agility and analytics. Those three words, biology, analytics, and agility. And so it's bioagiletix.
Jim, it's been awesome having you on my show today. I really enjoyed hearing how you grew your company so fast.
Hey, Malcolm, thank you. Enjoyed talking with you. And hopefully, if we get a chance to talk in the future, we'll be sharing additional life-saving medicines that we've helped bring to the marketplace, which is what we're all working here for.
Yeah, sounds good. Let's put that on the topic list when we talk again, say perhaps next year.
I look forward to it, Malcolm.
We've been speaking with Jim Dayton, the CEO of Bioagiletics, about his company's rapid growth. For interviews with other fast-growing, high-value sales companies, or to learn how we can accelerate your firm's high-value sales through automation, visit eversprint.com.